Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Turn in your New Testaments to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple of verses there and then at a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're in this series in Lent that I'm calling Lead Me to the Cross. This cross, the cross of Christ. That's not just the title of the series, it's my prayer. And I hope it becomes your prayer as well. Lord, lead me to the cross. Why? Because we are not naturally drawn to the cross. And so we need God's Spirit to lead us to the cross. For it's there that we find salvation, redemption, hope, all the blessings of God that we find at the cross. But it comes with a price. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. It's not an easy thing to do. And yet, as followers of Christ, it's something we must do. Before I get to 1 Corinthians, I want to do just a brief recap of last week. You know, last week we looked at Isaiah chapter 53. That whole chapter is devoted to the sufferings that Messiah had to endure on his way to the cross and on the cross itself. And let me just refresh your memory, or for those of you who weren't with us last week, some of the key words in Isaiah 53, as I've been meditating on this chapter all week during Lent, some of the key phrases in Isaiah 53 that are difficult, but look at what Messiah had to endure. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. One so despised and beaten that people actually hid their face from him because he was so bruised and torn and broken. Think about that. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He no longer became someone that we admired, but someone that we rejected. He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. And we considered him stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This is what Messiah went through. This is why we take the season of Lent to meditate on the sufferings of Christ. The cross of Christ came at a tremendous price. May we never forget all that Christ had endured. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He felt oppression and judgment. He was cut off from the land of the living. He was assigned a grave with the wicked. It was the Lord's will that he be crushed, caused him to suffer. There was suffering in his soul. He was poured out his very life unto death. He was numbered among the transgressors. He bore the sin of many. The weight of the cross that Jesus bore was tremendous. And so you can see why we naturally don't want to gravitate toward the cross, because it represents everything that was ugly about what humanity did to our Lord. And yet the Apostle Paul says that if we want to enter into life with Christ, we must enter into his sufferings and even his death. So let's look at a couple of verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll jump down to verses 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Now jump down to verses 18 and 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. Now, turn a couple chapters back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. One verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let us pray. Lord, the scriptures are filled with this mystery of all that the cross entails. For indeed, the world looks at the cross as foolishness, as rubbish. And the world mocks the cross, and the world mocks Christ, even as those who put him on the cross mocked him as he hung there and died for the sins of the world. Lord, there's a mystery about the cross that I don't fully understand or comprehend. Something divine happened when Christ hung on that tree for 6 hours in agony, quoting scripture, forgiving those who put him there, giving instructions to his disciples to care for his mother. There's a mystery there, Lord. As Christ looked up to heaven and cried out to you and said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." We don't understand all that happened at the cross, but the Apostle Paul gives us some indication. And I pray, God, as we think about the cross and we meditate on the mystery of the cross and the power of the cross, and as we pray, Lord, lead us to the cross, that we will begin to see even more and more all that happened there at the cross, not only for our salvation, but for the salvation of the world. And I pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. I want to begin this morning by sharing a parable with you. This is a parable from the Far East. There was a typhoon that stranded a monkey on an island. In a protected place on the shore, while waiting for the raging waters of this typhoon to recede, the monkey spotted a fish swimming and struggling against the current. It seemed to the monkey that the fish was really, really struggling and needed assistance. And so, being the kind-hearted monkey that he was, the monkey set out to help the struggling fish. There was a tree that leaned over the spot where the fish was struggling really, really hard. And so, at considerable risk to himself, the monkey climbed out and moved onto the branch right over the fish, reached down, and snatched the fish from the waters. Scurrying back to the safety of his shelter, that monkey carefully laid the fish on dry ground and was feeling pretty good about himself for helping and saving that poor, struggling fish. And for a few moments, the monkey could see that the fish was very excited about being rescued, but soon settled into a very peaceful rest. I share that parable with you because that parable so beautifully illustrates the foolishness of this world in thinking that we can save ourselves or that others could save us. That's the foolishness of this world, the foolishness of this age that the Apostle Paul talks about, thinking that we have the ability to save ourselves or save others or think that others can save us. This world is divided into two kinds of people: fools and fools. So the question that we need to decide today is, which foolishness are we going to choose? That's the title of the message today. Which foolishness will you choose? Really, what Paul does is divide the world into two groups of people: those who are perishing and those who are being saved. But if you're on either side, you look at the other side and you think they're foolish. So, for example, the world that is perishing without Christ looks at believers and think they are foolish. And those of us who are believers who find our salvation in Christ look at the world and think they are foolish. And so the first kind of foolishness I want to talk to you about is what Paul mentions here in this passage in Corinthians. He says the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Now, I know you're like me, and you watch the news, and you get your news feed on your phone, and you read the newspaper, or you just look at what's happening in the world around us today, and you shake your head in disbelief, right? There are things happening in our culture today, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but there are things happening in our culture today that we would have never conceived would ever occur. There are ideas and philosophies and lifestyles that just boggle our mind. Even non-believers. There are even pagans who look at what's happening in the world today who are rational and shake their heads and go, "This is crazy. This is nuts." The problem is that rationality is quickly going out the window. It just seems like fewer and fewer people are actually really thinking and using their mind. And so we're living in a very precarious time right now. One of the things I wanted to do for this message was I wanted to highlight something from every day that I would see or come across that was just foolishness. The problem with that is I was overloaded every day with an example that I could have shared with you. So what I did instead was narrow it down to one really crazy thing that the news mentioned every day this last week. And that's the very sad story out of Churchill High School that actually made national news. And it's kind of heartbreaking that it seems like Oregon makes national news for all the wrong reasons, right? But if you don't know what I'm talking about, there was a high school teacher at Churchill High who assigned in a human sexuality class an assignment where the students were to write out their sexual fantasy. And it was absolutely crazy. And it was on the news nearly every single night this week. There was uproar at the 4J school board meeting. And anybody with a rational mind would look at that and shake their heads and go, what is happening in our culture and in our world where in a high school class this type of assignment would be considered okay? And I know our kids are dealing with stuff that those of us who are adults didn't have to deal with back then, and yet there are things happening in our culture today where we shake our head and go, that's simply foolishness. And not only is it foolishness, but we're laying on the shoulders of our kids and our young people burdens that they're not equipped to handle. And so maybe my heart is a little heavy today because I, like you, see what's happening in the world and my heart breaks for the things that our culture is dealing with, but especially the things that our young people have to deal with. Those of you who are on our prayer team are praying for a 14-year-old, and you know the details if you're on our prayer team, who tried to commit suicide a few weeks ago. And it's just heartbreaking what our young people are having to deal with today. It is foolishness. And it's what the Apostle Paul calls the wisdom, and I'm sure he used the word wisdom in quotes, the wisdom of this world, which is not very wise. We look at what's happening in the world today, humanism, secularism, experimentism. There's no objective truth anymore. If it feels right, it must be right. So just do it. Anything goes. Lack of morals, lack of values, no discipline. It's heartbreaking. It is what the Apostle Paul calls the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness. And he warns in Colossians chapter 2:8, we are to see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. Let me read that verse to you again. Because Paul, even in his day, had to deal with the foolishness, the craziness, the silliness of this world. And his warning to believers is, see to it that no one takes you captive through the hollow or empty or deceptive philosophy of this world. Paul goes on and he talks about another type of foolishness. And we read about it in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness. He actually says in 1 Corinthians 4:10 that we are fools for Christ's sake. So a pagan world, a pagan culture looks at what we do and what we believe and this cross and the cross we sing about, and they look at us as fools. The Greek word there for foolishness, for fools, is the Greek word moraia. It's the same root word that forms our English word moron. And so the world looks at us as morons, as moronic. But Paul is saying that to the unsaved world, those of us who preach the gospel, those of us who embrace the cross, those of us who find meaning and hope and redemption and salvation in the cross, we're idiots. And the Apostle Paul says, you know what? I'm okay with that. Because if I'm going to be a fool, and we're going to be fools either way. If I'm going to be a fool, I'm going to be a fool for Christ. And I'm going to embrace what you think is the foolishness of the cross. Yes, it hurts our feelings and makes us sad when the world mocks us and makes fun of us. Just look at how Christians are portrayed in movies, TV, media. We are portrayed as irrational and, there's all kinds of ways that the media portrays us as just horrible people. Or even when I meet someone and they ask me, what do I do for a living? Years ago, when I started in ministry, I would say, you know, I'm a pastor. And usually the response was positive. Oh, you're a pastor. Now that kind of response is rare. You know, I meet someone today and they say, what do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a minister. And you would have thought that I rocked their world, which I did. So the question for us is, which fool are you going to be? Which foolishness are you going to choose? When we embrace the cross of Christ and the virtues it represents, that's where we find salvation. It's where we find hope. It's where we find redemption. That's where we find meaning in life. But the world mocks everything that the cross stands for. The world mocks self-sacrifice. The world mocks humility, righteousness, redemption. Everything that the cross stands for, the world mocks. Paul says, I'm okay with that. Because if I'm going to be a fool, I'm going to be a fool for Christ. My prayer that I want for you to be your prayers, Lord, lead me to the cross. Help me to embrace everything about the cross and all that Christ accomplished on the cross. For yes, it is foolishness to the world, but it is a wisdom from God that will lead to our salvation and our wholeness and our redemption. And ultimately, it's the cross that will reconcile us back to God. And so in the few moments that we have left, I want you to pay attention and meditate on this video. The song, Lead Me to the Cross. May that be your prayer as well. That God, help me to find my identity, my purpose, my meaning, and my salvation there at the cross.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. Cross where your love poured out.
thinking of that song that we sometimes sing in church, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. If I'm going to be a fool, I'm going to be a fool for Christ. I'm going to find my foolishness at the message and the hope and the meaning of the cross. That's the hope of the world today. The world is desperately trying to save itself. And like that monkey, maybe even with good intentions, the world will just end up killing itself. But the hope for us and the hope for the world is found in this foolish structure right here, the cross of Christ. Father, we are fools for you. May it be so. Because what appears to be foolishness to the world really is the saving, redemptive, missional plan of God to save the world.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.